In Galatians chapter 5, we've been taking a look at the fruit of the Spirit. I had told you we're going to go on in this book, and we will, but I had purposed and forgot about it to go over to Colossians, and we're not going to spend as much time in Colossians as we did in Galatians. We want to see over here in Colossians chapter 3 about this same subject. We've referred to this at different times, and we're going to take a look and just do some comparison here, because in Colossians, it's worded a little bit different, but it's also talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, and in Galatians chapter 5, if you remember, you know, those fruit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The brother there, as the Lord moves upon him to write, he says there's no law against these, there's no fulfilling these. And then over in Colossians, as he writes to this church at Colossae, it's a church that's up there north of the Aegean Sea. I'm going to cheat and look at my map here real quick. I like to do that as a study and understand the churches that are being written to. No, Colossae is there in Asia Minor. I lied to you. Colossae is east of Ephesus. Ephesus is right there on the Aegean Sea, right across from Athens, which is over in Greece. Ephesus is there, and then Colossae is over there to the east a little ways, about 100 miles or so from Ephesus. It is also a church there in Asia Minor. And remember that the epistle to the Galatian churches, okay, that's a region there in Asia Minor. This is an epistle to a particular church, and it's supposed to be sent around to other churches. And we pick it up here in chapter 3. Chapter 3, he speaks to them about seeking those things that are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We're dead to this world, we're alive to Christ, and we're looking for the appearing of Christ. He says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That's a command from the Lord, which fornication, uncleanness. He goes over those fruits of the flesh, or the works of the flesh, and he says, he reminds in verse 6, the wrath of God is coming because of those things. We used to live in them, but we've been saved from them. Put that stuff off. In verse number 8, and he tells about more, anger, wrath, and such like. Don't lie one to another. I mentioned that at the jail last night. Oh, we're so tempted to lie. We are tempted to lie. Even as the Lord's children, as His children, the lying is a thing. It's just the Lord has worked on me about that for some reason, has just pressed on me about that. It's so easy for us to lie. We'll lie to seek to get out of telling the truth. That's what the problem is. Sometimes the truth hurts. It never hurts the new man, but it hurts the old man. And whether we don't want to see the truth for ourselves, or we don't want to hurt our family, or we don't want to hurt a brother and sister in Christ, or maybe we've sinned and we are tempted to tell a lie to cover up. And he tells, he's not speaking to those that are not saved. He's speaking to those in the church at Colossae. Don't lie. Don't lie. Put off it. And it's several places in the Scripture where that spoke, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. And I'm not going to get myself in trouble about talking about the babies, okay? I remember I talked about that when we addressed that life. I love babies, and babies are cute in their own right. And some cuter than others. Those related to you are always cuter than those that are not, right? That's just the way that is. I'm going to keep digging. Brother Orville says, when you're down in the hole, quit digging. And so, lie what one to another. Okay, the new man in verse 10, there's no respecter of person with God, but we're free in Christ, but Christ is all in all, in verse number 11. He's all of it and all of it. It's all about Him, for Him, and to Him, because of Him. Okay, and then in verse number 12, we pick it up here. He says, put on. And I encourage you to underline that in your Bible. Be about it. That's an action. That's a verb. Put it on. You got to work at it. The old man doesn't want to work on it. The old man wants to get up and thrash around and move around. That's the reason Scripture says mortify him. Pin that old guy down. Pin him down. Don't let him run like he wants to. Don't let the old man be in control, but the Spirit of God is to be in control. The one we feed is the one that's going to rise up, right? The one we feed is the one that's going to rise up. You know, it's such a blessing. We have a a week's worth of meetings, and I appreciate the church. You know, I've done consideration lately about our membership, the membership of our church, and how far you and your families drive. I mean, the average distance that you drive one way, it's really up there. I mean, in miles, it is really up there. I would venture that probably of all the different ones in families and the distance that's driven for you to be able to meet here together, it's probably around 20, 25 miles or so on average of what the different families drive to come to services. That's a dynamic that I've just realized in our church in the last year or so. And I appreciate you that drive. You're willing to prepare and give of your time and plan ahead so you can be in the services. You've made that commitment to the Lord, and I commend you for that. I praise the Lord for that in your faithfulness. Even if you've worked all day or you've gone to school all day, you go ahead and you load up and you come to services. But when we have a special time of services, Brother Doug mentioned, you know, we had Friday night in the monthly fellowship meeting, if you availed yourself to go to that. We had Saturday services here, Sunday services here. We went to the jail service on Monday and Tuesday. You know, when we avail ourselves of the Word of God, we avail ourselves of the worship of God, like with our revival services, you know, the old body's tired by the end of the week. But boy, it's enough uplifting, isn't it? It's a blessing. We go to camp. You know, the thing about camp, we go to camp, the phone doesn't work. Don't have any radios, don't have any TVs, don't have any PCs, don't have any other E's. And we're there, and all we're focusing on is worshiping the Lord, learning about the subject and the topic at hand, fellowshipping with the people of God. And I tell you, it's just great. It's a good time, isn't it? The new man gets fed then, and the old man, he gets tromped and trapped down and pinned down, whether we have services or we do something like camp or whatever. And he is blessed, isn't he? And it's really funny, as we are humorous or a point, and it happened to all of us as we left camp this year and we got out of the dead zone over there, and we got more back to civilization. Would that be a right thing? We started communicating with all. We started bearing under all the load and the responsibility and all that thing that we had. It was happening to all of us in different ways as we started getting closer to home. And you know, we're just in a strait with life, aren't we? And I'm not condemning any of that. I mean, we need to work. We need to take care of our families. We need to find out what's going on. And that's not the point. But see how we get stretched? See how we get pulled? And so we need to feed the new man. And so I'm glad that you're here tonight. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You came, didn't you? But he says here, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, verse 12, holy and beloved. That's our station. That's our place. We've been elected by God. We've been saved by God. It tells us in the one of the epistles to the church at Thessalonica that their election of God was known by their response to the gospel and their faithfulness to Christ and their following the Lord and His commands and being baptized, becoming a member of the church, and their faithful service that was broadcast and told all over that part of the world. That was the testimony. And that's how the apostle knew that they were the elect of God. We that are saved, we are the elect of God. We have learned and know that the Lord has loved us with an everlasting love before the foundations of the world. We are made holy in Him. We are agapo love, beloved by the Lord. It says, put on bowels of mercies. Be merciful. Be merciful. You know, the Lord, in His mercy to us, what is mercy? Not getting what we deserved. I deserved hell. I deserve separation from God. I deserve eternal darkness. Oh, but the Lord loved me. He loved me, if you will, from within. He had compassion on me. It's not a thing, a a characteristic, a work, an attribute of God where he just said, okay, mercy. But he loved us. How do we know that he loved us so and that he extended mercy unto us? Because his love for us cost him his son. Right? It cost him his son. He turned his back on his son for me and for you if you're here and saved. That's the bowels of mercy. It comes from within. Comes from within, from the heart, a yearning, a hurting. Somebody was talking the other day, Brother Kittle was talking about how it is that some people that go to the mission field and are the brethren that went down to visit and be with Brother Bert Kraft back in November, they were warned, beware of culture shock. Brother Kittle talked about culture shock and going. Some of you here have gone to other nations and you've seen how other nations and other peoples live. And people will be subject to culture shock. They get in a situation. One manifestation of that is they see all these people in such great need and poverty, and they want to try to help everybody, and they can't help everybody. The only way a missionary can go and help them is by preaching the gospel to them, and the Lord will then help them. And then, if you will, they'll be lifted up even from terrible conditions that they're in there in their nation. But it's from within that a person wants to have mercy because they see the need. And that's the bowels of mercies that we need to have. And there is only so much we can do, but we need to be doing what we can do. Amen. We need to be a merciful people. The Lord has been merciful to us. Indeed, had any bowels of mercy, pity, or sympathy. Maybe we can't have sympathy with some people. Sympathy means you've been in those shoes. I don't know what it is to sleep on the ground because I had to. Do you? Maybe some of you do. But I don't know what that's like. But there are people that do. But I know what it's like to be a sinner, blinded by sin, can't hear, can't see. I know what that's like. Need to have mercy that way. Some have been through cancer, and they can be sympathetic to those that are going through cancer and dealing with cancer themselves. You can be sympathetic. The rest of us that haven't can only empathize. We try to stretch to it. We need to be merciful. We need to be compassionate. We need to have pity on the lost, and we need to have mercy on those that were around. It goes on us here. Put on bowels of mercies. Put on kindness, which is a duplicate of Galatians chapter 5. There it's described as, or the word that's used, same word as gentleness, and we've looked at that. He says on here, put on humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. Boy, you know, that's in there close to meekness, isn't it? It's in there close to temperance. As we've said, all these fruit of the Spirit do cross over at different times. Modesty, humbleness of mind, humility, lowliness are synonyms for that. You've been blessed with something, don't be proud about it. Be thankful about it. Amen? Some things that I've been listening to lately and I've been remembering about those messages that I preached about conformity and how the Lord tells us in the book of Romans in chapter 12, that we need to be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, don't take the fit of this world, but be renewed in the mind and be transformed to that thinking in that way of Christ and obedience and holiness and service to the Lord. They were so challenged with the three things that men hold in high esteem. Looks, intelligence, and wealth. That's what's esteemed by the world. The thing that is esteemed highly by men is abomination to the Lord. Because think about it. In the grave, beauty does no good. In the grave, wealth does no good. In the grave, intelligence does no good. But you know what does good in the grave? Eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A reckoning with God about a sinner's sin and the salvation of the soul and the being redeemed by the Lord. You know, thank God the Lord doesn't love us for the way we look. Right? He doesn't. And we need to love one another by that as an example. But if we've been blessed, if we've been blessed with beauty, if we've been blessed with intelligence in different areas, if we've been blessed with wealth, we need to thank God. Use it for His service. Use it right in the right way. And never be proud about it. Have humbleness of mind that we are there always before the Lord, walking with Him, walking before Him, thankful to Him in every way. And if He's blessed, if we're blessed, if we find ourselves blessed in any facet or any way of life, it's because the Lord's done that for us. He's merciful. He's good to us. We need to have that humbleness of mind. You know, that's not talking about being beat down. I'm not talking about being beat down. But it's talking about a right understanding. We are sinners that have been saved and been made the children of God. We are now the sons of God, not waiting to find out. So it's not about being beat down and being cowered back. When somebody says something to us or says boo, we hunker back. That's not talking about that. But to esteem ourselves that we're no better than anybody else. As a brother said, one brother said, it's been said, you've heard it, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. It's level. We're souls before the Lord. And we need to know that no matter what degree that the Lord has blessed us with. And the thing is, to whom more is given, more is required. And that's just not talking about stuff. You know what? To the child of God that's been blessed to be saved and be a member of one of the Lord's churches for decades, more will be required. You've been around it. You and I have been around it. We've had opportunity to learn. More will be required than the one who is many years less. So in time, in things, in ability, in talent, whatever, we'll be accountable for that, and we need to have humility of mind in it. It goes on here to say, put on meekness. Put it on. Work on it. That's power under control if we understand that right. Gentleness, humility, meekness are there in there with it. And that is also duplicated in Galatians chapter 5. Also, it says to put on long-suffering, right? To put on long-suffering there at the end of verse number 12. And that's also duplicated, and we've taken a look at that in Galatians chapter 5. It says here also in Colossians 3, he says in verse 13, forbearing one another. Forbearing. Forbearing. To put up with. Our Lord and Savior says, you got to put up with me. And I should not be abusive. It's not talking about that, but we all have idiosyncrasies, don't we? We all got things about us. We need to forbear one another. Yeah, there's just some things I know. There's some things that about me or the way I do or the way I am or the way I operate might get on your nerves. You need to forbear that. Pray for me about it. Right? See, that's the thing. Rather than becoming angered about it, if it's troubling, pray about it. If I need help, I need help. I need you to pray. Many things about ourselves, the things about ourselves we don't see, do we? And so we pray for one another. Gets on your nerves bad enough, come to me about it. In a right good way, right? But forbearing one another, to put up with one another, to be forgiving, to suffer one another. It goes on to say, forbearing one another, it says forgiving one another. Yeah, that's okay. I forgive you. Forgive me without me even having to ask. Yeah, see, that's the way the Lord has forgiven us, right? Yeah. He forgave us before we asked. Amen? of his purpose and plan and work to bring us to salvation. He'd forgiven us in Christ, in the mind of God. Now, he worked it out in time. And then we were sinners. And we did walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Those things are so. But the Lord purposed to forgive me before the foundations of the world. If you're hearing Satan, he purposed to forgive you. He was long on forbearance and long on forgiveness, right? He forgives us. In Ephesians, hold your finger here in Colossians 3 and turn over to Ephesians 4. We've read this before here at the end of the chapter in verse number 30 of Ephesians 4. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Don't grieve Him. Don't quench Him. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. "Whereby ye are sealed." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because we're sealed by Him unto the day of redemption, when the whole thing, the whole shooting match, the body and the mind is also going to be saved. We'll have that new body like Christ. Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, intent to get back, intent to do harm." Brother Jim hurt me, so I'm going to hurt him worse. "Forgive me, pray for me, bring it to my attention so I won't do it again. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Oh, if your brother or sister, if we are offended by them and we cannot forgive them, the Lord's given us instruction about how to handle that. Don't hold a grudge about an offense and never give the other party an opportunity to get it right. And we've all seen that, haven't we? We've seen that. Maybe we've seen that in ourselves. We've seen it in others. Holding an offense that the other party never knows about. That's not right, is it? That is in no way right. If we cannot bear it, if we cannot bear to bring it out, then we need to forgive them. Forgive them. But don't bear an offense that you don't give the other party an opportunity to repent of. Or to work it out. It'll just lead to nothing but strife and hardship and indeed quenching of the Spirit, grieving of the Spirit. The Lord is very forgiving. The Lord in His instruction to us, right in the Gospels, that if we remember that our brother hath aught against us, leave that gift at the altar and go get that thing right. That's the words of the Lord, isn't it? Get it right. I tell you what, the best thing is just to forgive. And forbear and be long suffering. And pray for one another that the Lord would help us. Back in Colossians 3 it says, "Put on charity." Right? "Forbearing one another," verse 13, "forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye," and I've expounded upon that. Verse 14, "And above all these things put on charity." That's top of the list. Charity, agape love, agapeo love, that G25, it is the motivator for all the rest of them. You know, love describes everything that God has done for us. You know, grace doesn't describe mercy, and mercy doesn't describe grace, but love describes them both, doesn't it? Love's that umbrella. Long-suffering does hint about mercy, but does it so much about grace? All of them mean, all those words mean different things, but the umbrella of love tells about them all. Tells about them all. Sacrifice. The Lord's sacrifice for us. He's gracious in giving that sacrifice for us, but then mercy doesn't talk about sacrifice, does it? It talks about judgment. I should have been condemned. But love tells about it all, doesn't it? That's the reason love's the greatest. He says, above all, he says, put on charity. And that distinction is there is love like the Lord loves. And that doesn't mean to be weak about the stand of what God's Word says. It never talks about that. But to be well-behaved, to be right-behaved before the Lord and our witness, stand for the truth, telling the truth, but don't be mean about it. There's no mean and ugly is the way the old man operates. But above all these, put on charity, which is a duplicate in Galatians chapter 5. And then it says here, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's bond. And when I went to St. Louis to work there, and I worked in abrasive research and development, and they were developing, in our department, we worked with several different abrasives for honing equipment, engine rebuilding equipment, industrial honing, hole finishing and stuff, and all kinds of different machinery. We made machines and we made abrasives for that. And in the vitrified bond, which is like a stone that's on an offhand grinder. Some of you brethren maybe have an 8-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch offhand grinder, which has got two wheels on it that turn, and you take metal and you can get burrs off of it and all that. Those vitrified wheels, vitrified is talking about a glass bond that held the abrasive together. We use glass to hold that grit together in the similar product that we made, one of the different products. Charity is the bond of perfectness. It makes it stick together. Love makes it stick together. Love covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't the Scripture tell us? It's the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God, verse 15, rule in your hearts. And that peace, right? It's a duplicate. We saw that in Galatians chapter 5. Oh, and he says here, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I love it when our brethren pray. We have public prayer, and we thank the Lord. You know, we need to thank the Lord a lot. We need to thank the Lord always. Thank the Lord for all things. Brother Jim, I don't know what to pray. I tell you what, just acknowledge that God is God. Thank Him for being God, and thank Him for what He's done for us. That's a wonderful start. Because he's allowed us to come and be together tonight, hasn't he? He's taken us through our day. No telling how much trouble the Lord's kept us out of today. Today I went up to see Brother Heatherly up there at the Little Old Bine Baptist Church, and I traveled about 250-some miles today. No telling what trouble the Lord kept me out of today. Praise be to His name. Amen. And maybe somebody's feeling bad or feeling sick. You know, maybe some circumstances happen that we would never want. But maybe that's the very thing that in the Lord's providence and great working, by that thing that we would call a negative, maybe He's kept some of our brothers and sisters out of trouble tonight. We don't know the hand and working of God. It's beyond what we can comprehend and put together, isn't it? Praise be His name for all things. Be thankful. Be a thankful people. Be a thankful people. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I want to leave you with this thought. In the next verse, in verse 16, I've got this underlined in my Bible. Just because I've got it underlined doesn't mean you have to underline it, but listen to what it says. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you moderately, weekly. I'm not talking about every 7 days. I'm talking about W-E-A-K. Is that what it says? Let the Word of God, what's it say? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Does the Word of God dwell in us richly? Do we have overflow in our hearts and our lives from what the Word of God says? Or do we scratch and grapple just to be able to hang on to a little bit of the Word of God? I don't say this to be condemning. That's not my point. But I'm saying this as a challenge to us. Do we feed on the Word of God? Do we have a lot in the Word of God that we can consider, can meditate about, can think upon? Or when we just sit down and maybe you sit down with a piece of paper, or maybe you just sit down with a recorder and you start talking about or writing down the things that the Lord has shown you in His Word. Is there a lot or is there a little? There needs to be a lot. Because it's this book that tells us about our Lord and Savior, our great King and God. Do we have the Word of God in us richly such that the Lord has not only shown us His Word, but He's shown us the application of His Word in our hearts and lives? That we can pull up different parts of Scripture, different passages of Scripture, and then be able to not with great eloquency or anything, but be able to say, this is what this means for my life. That's the Word of God dwelling in us richly. And so, Brother Jim, it's not in my life the way it ought to be. Well, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to help you. And seek the Lord's face and help in it. Amen? There's no better time to start than right now. Just if the Lord has shown you that and that's a case in your life, only you and the Lord know. But take that thing and pick it up right now and seek. Pray that. Pursue that. Lord, I want Your Word. I want the Word of Christ, the Word of the Lord. I want that to dwell in me richly. Help me to see how I can do that. Help me to pursue that. Give me wisdom. Give me help. Give me understanding. In the first chapter of James, right? Doesn't the Scripture say that the Lord giveth out wisdom liberally? He doesn't say, hey, kid, what are you doing here asking for wisdom? Beat it. Get out of here. He doesn't do that. He doesn't upbraid, does he? But He giveth to all liberally. That seeks His face, that desires. We've got to want it. Do we want the application of the Word of God? Does it dwell in us richly? Do we have enough of the Word of God within us as His children to be able to take it and carry it to those that are without Christ? I tell you what, it can be a helpless feeling to try to witness to somebody about the need of their soul and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember what the Lord told to the apostles that said to increase our faith. He says, don't look to feel good about the service. Just look to obey. So go ahead and jump out there and tell somebody about the Lord. Just tell Him what He did for you. Tell them what the Lord did for you. And ask the Lord to give you scriptures and give you passages that would go with that and fit with that, that you can tell them or show them about. May the Lord help us. He says, put it on. Put it on. May the Lord help us in that. We might be encouraged in it. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. As I pointed out the other night, I think it was last Wednesday, and that thought has been on my mind there in the first chapter of 1 John. Our fellowship is one with another, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and to paraphrase, through and because of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need Him. Not a system of doctrine, not lining up with what Brother Jim believes, not lining up with Olmsted Baptist Church believes for the sake of Brother Jim Duke or Olmsted Baptist Church, which we believe that we have the truth of God, but not to line up with us or line up with the church, but you need to believe what the Lord says. When you're here without Christ, the first thing He says is you're a sinner. You're guilty and condemned before Him. You don't have to wait for the judgment to find out about your condition. You are condemned now. And He says, He came to seek and save that which was lost. Are you a sinner? He came to call sinners to repentance. If you're a sinner, repent. And if you're a sinner, believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.